What's good, party people? This is According to Woods, and this is a special edition because you guys get to ask us anything. And the us that I'm speaking to, referring to, is one triple champion, the Renegade Dojo's own, Aisha Raymond, Big Femme Vader. What's going on?
I'm good. This is the very first time I'm going to be a complete open book to everyone because I know that, you know, I am an heir of mystery. You know absolutely nothing. So here is your chance to ask whatever you want to ask. Absolutely. And I am currently on location. This is why.
On location, absolutely. We've increased the budget here that we've graciously allowed Big Femme Vader to, you know, be on location.
And paid vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we're going with. And Graham Farrell says, hey, guys, what's up, Graham? Good to see you. Hope your holidays are well. And my goodness, speaking of holidays, right? Like, I mean, is it because I'm getting messages from my family in Fiji and they're like, happy holidays or Merry Christmas because they're still into that. I mean, I used to as a goof because there was a couple companies that I worked for that were like, oh, you don't want to offend people. There was just like the precursor to like cancel culture. And they're like, hey, you might not know that I celebrate Kwanzaa as somebody that is, you know, maybe Jewish or what have you, or somebody that celebrates Hanukkah that might be Lenny Kravitz, right? So they would be like, you say happy holidays. Right. No, there's like other people. But Lenny Kravitz came to mind because why wouldn't it? So let that dig in, right? Go ahead and have yourself a good time. But yeah, so then I would just be like, happy non-denominational holiday. And that was my intro. And then I heard like happy Festivus. And then I used to use that. And, you know, Michael Richards, he was all like at the Comedy Store, a couple of darker persuasion people. African gentlemen were razzing him and whatever. And he just goes, because y'all in the N-words. So I stopped quoting Kramer.
Well, and no, this is weird to me. This like this time of year has always been kind of strange to me. And so I've always had a multicultural community and background and group. And even my friends who have of Muslim faith, of Hindu faith, of Sikh faith, would celebrate Christmas. So it's just like, I don't know if it's an English thing, whereas in America that just doesn't happen. I don't know. I've never had to separate or change my wording because somebody might get offended.
We're offended until we aren't, right? I mean, here in the States, it's like, yeah, we're not offended. And then like, if somebody...
We're offended! Change your ways! No.
Change your ways, change your gender, change your ethos, change your, I don't know, policy on gun safety or lack thereof. We're just all willy-nilly.
Change your species, change your eyebrows, change your hair color.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, I got a question for you. Do you have a favorite holiday memory?
I do. Like, one of my most favorite holiday memories, even though, my sister wasn't able to travel with us at the time, so it was every part of the family apart from my sister, was when I got to spend Jamaica for the first time, spend Christmas for the first time in Jamaica with my grandparents. And it was literally 6 months before the Mae Young Classic as well. So it was like, I got to celebrate this with my family, give my family this big, massive, like, almost news, and then I was in Jamaica. But the most weirdest thing about all of it is I was raised Christian. I am Christian, but I'm not as religiously, devoted as my grandmother. She is Seventh-day Adventist. So the thing is to go to church on the Saturday and also like throughout the week and blah, blah, blah. And their services are really, really, really long. So it was just a weird kind of culture shock thing to me. It was just weird. I was more happier along the lines of the fact that I was with my family rather than just Jamaica, everything. But yeah, it was good.
Yes, and no, I'm still here.
Segway, you did well.
Yeah, I know. I was quick.
I literally just finished.
Yeah. No. So I'm doing the solo layout because there's another project that I'm involved with that, or I'm gonna have to work the switcher and what have you. So yeah, that was kind of it.
So, by the way, he didn't give me a heads up on that. I thought I was by myself. No, I was so scared.
We're gonna freak out Big Fan Vader. During the holiday. And
the professional's happy, gone, don't leave me here.
Yes, and Nick Macko is happy Easter. Absolutely. And happy Easter to you. 4-5 months removed, right? 3-4, depending on where you celebrate it and when.
What book you read?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's actually my favorite holiday. You get Easter bunnies, and I don't care what, you know, methodology that you come at it with, right? I don't care if it's like pagan holiday, blah, 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 and they have their, ethos behind that. They're talking about, what is it? Like, I think it was like that one African civilization that were like, oh, it's the fertility, whatever, and that's why the eggs and the whatever. Or, you know, like those motherfucking Kentuckians that dress up in pastels during the, like, Kentucky Derby. And I don't even know if that's in Easter. I just associate the two, pastels and
is that Kentucky. A thing? Are they called Kentuckians?
Well, I mean, that's a whole Grizzly Smith fucking deal. And
in my head, I just got loads of fried chicken dancing around.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Grizzly Smith was one half of the Kentuckians, and that worked out so well for the rest of the family. Not. Yeah. But yeah, so, and that bears probably no bearing on Kentucky. Probably nobody, you know, makes love to their kin folk. That never happens there ever. Even still, yeah, so Easter is my favorite holiday. So thank you. I will take that, McMac. And different time zone. Yep. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And as I am in a different time zone than Big Fan Vader, funny enough. And then, Aisha, can I have my job back, please?
You're fired. You know what Graham did? Okay, let me tell you what Graham did. Let me start. So Graham disobeyed my orders. He was working for me at the show. He's currently fired because of him, I lost my match.
Didn't really?
Yeah, wow. I blame the referee. I'll come back for Eye on the Sky soon, but I blame the ref.
So essentially, in this theory, you know that kind of story of the American Wolves, right, having their NXT tryout, and they were supposed to go home, and David Richards thought, oh, fuck it. No. And it was like, I know what to do. Yes, absolutely. So in this scenario, would Grant Farrell be David Richards?
I would say more more Little Nate in WCW. That's okay. How sneaky he was.
Okay.
He was asked to do a job. He didn't do his job. And now, let's just say there will be consequences.
Ooh, damn. This is rough stuff. And yes, I lost my job by doing my job, which is...
No, you lost your job by not doing your job. That's what happened.
Is that the new getting fired on your day off? Is it?
Yes.
Motherfucking Craig,
you're fired.
You're not Graham Farrell anymore, good sir. You are Craig Farrell, taking a page from Friday. So there you go. And it's funny because you were talking about a particular, you know, it wasn't just the Mae Young Classic in Jamaica and what have you. There was a particular dish that you know, kind of. Partake in, and I believe there it is. So what are we seeing?
We are seeing lovely Jamaican fry fish, and I think that's, I actually don't know what that is on the side, I'm not quite sure, but that's fry fish. Like, I'm not a pescatarian. I like meat. I'm sorry to all my vegan friends out there, loves you, peace, but I like beef. But fish is my thing. And my nan is literally the most amazing cook in the world. And the one thing that she does for me every time I'm in Jamaica, actually what she's done now, because I can smell it in the kitchen, is fry fish. And that's just my, if I could live off of fish and seafood, I would. Obviously, Japan.
Yeah. Which, this probably doesn't serve well, but it probably served, I mean, now, but it, you know, maybe a couple of minutes I should have thrown this in there. So there's not a great segue or whatever, but you were talking about you're not the, you know, the most religiously devoted. And I just went, the fucking, what's her face? Olivia Newton-John? Religiously devoted to you.
Yeah. I tried.
Which and that the pescatarian, because like, isn't there like pescatarian, pastafarian, aren't those things?
A pastafarian is a thing.
Oh, you don't know about the fucking flying spaghetti monster religion?
Please, no, educate me. Can you do your little screen thingy?
Let's see what the fuck I can conjure up on the internet. But the Pastafarians, at least as what I believe it is people who believe in the flying spaghetti monster.
The flying spaghetti monster.
Yes, absolutely. So with the wonders of the internet and the request of one triple champion, Big Van Vader. Wait, that's not it. Not the file. I want to share the screen.
Who needs a pandemic year with three belts? Me.
Yes, there you go. But the Pastafarians are these folk. And you can't see it, but let me pull up a bigger picture. This is their deity. You see? The flying spaghetti monster. That's what they believe in. And that is the deity that is the flying spaghetti monster.
You remember that joke in Simpsons when they're like, when everybody came to pick their deities, the certain religious showed up late. Did they just not show up?
I mean, Jesus Christ. That's a nice, great segue. No, I didn't mean that actually, but that fit pretty well. So I'm just going to keep it. And I meant that. No, but yeah. So here's the flying spaghetti monster. And the members of such religion, they have, I thought it was just a spaghetti stranger. Somebody cultured me up. They swept me up.
Are those meatballs?
Yes, those are meatballs and flying spaghetti. Yeah, those are the Pastafarians, right?
So they pray to... yeah, he looks like one. He looks very angry at life.
Yeah. So... And they pledge their allegiance by wearing not a spaghetti strainer, but a colander. That's what it's called. I didn't know that. Just like when you get the fucking meat and cheese plate and whatever the fuck. I was like, oh, it's just a fucking party platter. Somebody was like, it's a charcuterie board? And I was like, wait, isn't that a lady's lady parts? I don't know.
What the heck?
I know. That's where, yes. And Grandfather says that sounds like my kind of religion. Hopefully, it's not the charcuterie board, more of the flying spaghetti monster. But you know what? Fuck it. We're not going with context. So guess what? He's saying that about. He is pledging his allegiance to the charcuterie board of the UK. That's what I'm going with.
Wow, and here's a nice little segue into your question. So what was your favorite holiday? Let's get away from spaghetti monster.
The charcuterie boards? It's actually when I got this thing. This thing.
I've never had a tricycle before. It's so cute.
It's not even a tricycle. It was like a fucking... So you would sit in the seat, and it's a pedal car, right? So think of bike, but just lazier. Like lazier, because you have to actually mount the fucking bike. But no, not in this particular case. And mine was exactly this color, this model. But I remember getting this on Christmas, right? And when my parents, they were like, oh, like, look, you know, wrap up the, you know, fucking rip off the wrap ring. But they, my dad assembled it and everything like that. And basically, there was wrapping in the form of a car. And I was like, fuck it, man. I'm going to be a mechanic, and I'm just going to peek under the hood. So I just, you know, went like that and fucking whatever. And I climbed into the seat, and I didn't even fucking realize that the wrapping was still on. So that was a precursor to what was to come in terms of my logic or lack thereof.
It's like, ah, kid's going to be a G. He's gonna be fine.
He's gonna be something. He's gonna be something.
He's gonna be just fine.
My parents, if they could only see me now. I stopped eating the drywall, so that works.
Have you stopped licking the walls?
The canoodles?
The walls. Have you stopped licking the walls?
No, I've licked the walls down. Right, there you go.
Oh. Yes. Don't give Jericho any ideas. That might be a song.
I happen to have a Jericho AEW figure. So that's fun. That's really fun. But yeah, that was my favorite. And I used to, if you know of Howie Mandel's Bobby's World, there was a cartoon here in the US and it might have played elsewhere. But Bobby Jenrick, he would basically ride around in his little fucking tricycle and just see wondrous lands and whatever the fuck. Well, that was me. I used to go up and down the hills of San Francisco in that thing, you know, and that was how I saw my world. I didn't really leave home without it, especially if we were in like maybe a 3-mile radius of home. Like that was just the way that I fucking saw the world. I was just through the eyes of my fucking, from the vantage point of my cattle car. So, yeah, I know. I wanted to get my son one, and by the time we could afford to get him one, because these things are actually crafted in Germany, he was no longer able.
Interested.
Or is, yeah, because he's not that he's a lazy kid. He's just into the virtual reality. So every time he puts the visors on, I fucking kick him in the face. He's like, that's real reality, bitch. There you go. Not that my son's a bitch.
You're the kind of person that is, have your son got a VR?
Yeah.
Do you screw with him? Like, do you mess with his head when he's got the VR? That's what my friends do.
You bet your bottom dollar, little orphan.
That's cruel.
No, fuck that. Because guess what? There's going to be a whole legion of TikTok videos or whatever. And guess what? I'm going to make them before the end of the year because I can write that $400 fucking whatever the fuck off. I'm just saying. True, yeah, that's I'm going to charge it to the... According to Wood's account, running account, which has a sauna, 2 pugs, and a litany of fucking Funko Pops. So there you go. And just by showing that, guess what? I'm writing all them bitches off. Yes.
So does anyone want to buy limited edition Funkos?
Fuck no. That's what I'm saying. It's just a production expense. It's a line item. So I win. Hell yes.
At least you've thought about this. He's better at this than me.
Yeah, just buy all dumb shit and whatever. I mean, shout out to Total Debacle on Instagram. But I actually have a pin that is a replica of the short-lived Cruiserweight Tag Team, WCW Cruiserweight Tag Team Championship. That was won by Billy Kidman. Yeah, on the final Nitro, Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio. And he was like, oh, you should show that to Bischoff. And I was like, I thought about it. And I was like, that's actually when Bischoff wasn't a part of the company anymore. You know, so that might not be it. You know, I was going to gift it to him. And I was like,
maybe not a great idea.
No. I was like, you remember you that... Like, let me send him a screenshot of the time that, like, Vince threw him in the trash. Like, that'd be great, right? No. Oh. It's like, yeah. Or just text him, like, hey, remember this day? Oh, yeah, that's the way that they fucking WCW died in 2001. No. Like,
just send him the double screen production when it was, oh, I have bought my competition. Just send him that for Christmas.
Yeah.
No, don't. I apologize. No.
No. Nah. I like what you said, but like the opposite, that's probably what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Now, it's. Do you have a favorite holiday dish outside of the fish, you know, the fried fish conglomeration that we saw earlier? Do you have a favorite holiday dish?
I do. Like, my favorite holiday dish was ruined by the wonderful world of bodybuilding. Is gammon. Like, I love pork. Again, I'm sorry to all my vegan friends out there. I love your pieces. Peace, whatever. But I like
pieces gammon. Of bacon?
Pieces of bacon.
Yeah, you wish bacon bits on all of the vegans out there.
I'm just sprinkling it like snow. No, I'm joking. I used to eat slices of like thick cut gammon from the fridge, and my mum used to always tell me I was going to have a heart attack. But it got to the point where in a Jamaican dish, we have pea soup, and in pea soup, you have gammon. But I got to a point in my life where I didn't really like soup anymore. It just made me feel sick. So my mum would separately like cut the gammon in half, take out a little bit, and then cook it separately with rice, and I would just eat that. But gammon is my thing. I'm not a fan of crackling, though. I'm not that English. You can keep your burnt pig fat. I don't want that.
So, wait, hold on.
I just want the meat.
So, the way you spoke was very regional, right? Because my mom being from a British Commonwealth, I got one deal in the cracklings, which we call pork rinds here in the States. But yes, which you fucking fry skin, which is weird. That's not buffalo.
It's not even fried. It's burnt. It's literally burnt dry fats. Why would you? For what reason is this a thing?
Have you seen America?
Yeah, that's true.
Hell, you were in Florida. Your time out. So if anybody should fucking answer your own question, it would be you. Shout out to Florida. You guys live with fucking the lineage of dinosaurs and alligator and just like, ah, that's cool. We're doing that. You know?
That's true.
Yes. And do you have an According to Woods Funko? You know
that's
what?
True. You don't?
No, I don't. I don't. I should.
I even have an Aisha Raymond Funko. I gave it to my mom, but I haven't because it was a present.
Okay. Yeah. There's a Funko. The Funko Hollywood in Hollywood is like not too far away from me, and I just because of the COVID and whatever the fuck, and yeah, I just haven't gotten around to doing it. But
you're missing out on merch sales. Rookie mistake.
I should have. Like a merch store. People are like, okay, maybe you could educate me on said matter.
Oh no, don't ask me. I just know it's a rookie mistake. Not me. Of all people, not me.
You have a Funko and I don't.
For me.
Okay. Well, let my people, this is the most LA thing I can actually say, but I'll have my people call your people. That'll work.
Yeah. Have my people call your people, yeah.
Yes. Now, Demon Slayer says, who are your favorite wrestlers in the UK?
Can I pose a counter question to your question, past or present?
You know what? I love the graphic. Superboy. Right on. Yes. So, you know what? As we wait for the reply, but answer it however way the fuck you like. That's what I'm going to go with.
If I say past, I am always been a fan of the old school, so it's every World of Sport wrestler you could possibly think of. That's me, that's my thing, and that's what I love. If it comes to in terms of women in the UK, Combat Kate is literally one of my inspirations as well, and she kind of set the scene for a lot of women who were quite bigger in the business. So in terms of female wrestlers, if you're talking about past, every World of Sport wrestler personally, and female, Combat Kate. Present me. I am my favorite. Isn't that the right answer, Woods?
Yeah, you know, because if you didn't do it, I was gonna go like, oh, mine are Big Femme Vader, Aisha Raymond, Brody Adler, Debbie Keitel, Molly Spartan, Casey Owens, Regina Rosendahl. Yeah,
yeah, okay, Regina.
Yeah, that's.
I am a big fan of that girl.
Yeah,
no idea.
I told you. I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be fucking awesome." This is like, I hate what. Yes, like I'm so glad that Regina is involved and all that jazz. In the new Renegade Dojo. So it's just gonna be fun times ahead for everyone, and I think it's obviously the UK scene and I'm preaching to the choir here, but obviously the UK scene, much like every other scene, MMA, pro wrestling on every given seaboard in 2020, it was, man, burned to the fucking ground. And if it wasn't burned to the ground because of COVID, it was because of like the Me Too. So With that all being said, I think the future of the UK scene couldn't be brighter.
Because it's just new. There's nothing you can't... I personally don't think that you can't disregard or have any negative feelings towards something that's new because you've never experienced it before. So you can't shit on anything until it's happened. When it's happened, if it's pap, then fine. But clearly, as you saw, our Renegade Wrestling show, our debut show, was not. Thank you very, very much for our sold-out venue. Thank you very, very much for my amazing talent. Not mine, as in the talent of the roster, the talent. And just thank you for your support. Like, if anybody knew what I was going through that entire week, that it was this close to the show, it was probably not going to happen. Like, it was so close. So close. My head was going to go. I'm not a promoter. I'm going to try, but I'm not.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, I saw a little bit of that, and that's why it's so awesome. That's why I will put over the talent. And I mean, a lot of them are friends and friends of the show, but like, I actually dig you guys fucking wrestling. I mean, me digging you wrestling is why we even fucking started this. Why I, what, over a year ago, right? 16 some odd months ago, I was like, hey, I'm this guy that probably nobody's heard of, but I want to be on the podcast.
Yes, I do. You're cool. I like to talk to you. That's basically what happened.
Yeah, that's, I mean, here every week for like, God. I mean, we're almost hitting, speaking of Bischoff, like that 83-week mark, man.
Good.
Yeah.
Mr. Bischoff, I haven't been running for your number. You know, you have your people, call my people. And
I dig it.
Just saying.
Just saying. And the good brother throwback from the Rick and Crazy Pinfalls podcast said, what's good, guys? What's good? And we're just answering questions. So whatever you'd like to know about Big Van Vader, who has wrestled in Japan, been featured on the WWE Mae Young Classic, the first one, the first incarnation, and a litany of others. A litany of others. We're just hanging out, man.
It's not just my questions. They want to know about you too, Woods. They're like you are like what's the word? Batman, almost.
I was gonna say
mysterious enigma. No.
I was like, if you want to know more about me, subscribe to the podcast. I mean, really,
pay for it.
Yeah, because I mean, theoretically, I don't think I've shown myself more. Like, I'll put everything into a podcast, and then I'll be like absolutely depleted morally and otherwise the rest of the day. So when I'm in regular conversations, I'm like, don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So, yes, and you've done fantastic, Aisha. 100%.
Oh,
yeah. Even though he's fired.
Yeah, he's still fired.
Jesus Christ.
I might give him another chance, but right now he's still fired.
Ah, I see. No. What is it that the there was that song in the what is it, late 90s, early 2000s? The All I Need Is One More Chance. Like, I could hear it in my head. Yeah, so that's Graham Farrell right now. He's, what is it, Total or Expose or wherever that 90s R&B group girl that sang that fucking song. That's Graham Farrell right now.
I just have a horror. Did you used to watch Futurama at all?
I wasn't allowed to watch.
There's a scene in Futurama. It's the most saddest scene in the world. It's, what's his name? It's Fry's dog. That Fry's dog waits for him. And there's a song that plays like over, it's I Will Wait For You. And it's the dog slowly dying over time when Fry disappears to the future. He waits for him outside of his apartment and until he dies. I imagine Graham doing that outside of my venue one day.
Ooh. Will the Say Anything John Cusack with the radio above his head?
Please have me back.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, and you're like, oh, it's the saddest thing, whatever. I have a weird fucking sense of whatever the fuck, like, especially when it comes to movies, because you know, the first time I saw Titanic, and everybody's like, ah, you know, as a boy of a certain age, you're like, ah, we get to see boobies, Kate Winslet's boobies. We just have to get through Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, might look like a chick. Whatever.
So the whole fact that it was a true story actually happened, one of the most like horrible disasters that ever happened to our like mankind, that didn't cross your mind at all? No.
I like the rich people, you know, when the thing
they bounce off them.
It sounded like a pinball machine.
That was my favorite part too. When it goes completely straight and they bounce off the little tubes.
Because they were rich fuckers, man. Because if they're on the deck, they're rich.
I know.
I mean,
the bit with the band though got me when they were playing as it went down. I was like, oh, because I was taught that in school. I know that story was true. I was like, oh.
Well, you know, it's I can't refer. Man, why am I forgetting the comedian? But like, from that, I remember that comedy bit where it's just like, yep. If that was a black band, like fucking, you know, Kool and the Gang, they're like, fuck this.
You would have been smashing people out of the way to get on a lifeboat.
Let's groove tonight out the fuck of this thing. Good Lord, you know?
Just saying. So my partner told me a story the other day about when he was going on a train when it was really, really snowing. And they had evacuated everybody off the train because it stopped. And this guy came out in front of everybody and was like, women and children first, women and children first. So they let women and children on first. So now when everybody else is ready to pile on the train, Riri goes to the front of the train and sees this guy sitting on like one of the four-seater seats with all of his pals as the train drives by. So he said women and children first, and they just left without them. Wow. So some people aren't noble. Don't be noble. Disastrous situations. Think of yourself.
And now audio slave, don't save yourself. Yeah, there we go.
See?
Yeah, that's the fucking jam. That's the fucking jam. Now, Graham has a question for me, actually. Question for you. Who was your first interview and how nervous were you? Okay, so that is... So the first podcast, of this incarnation, was Jacob Rosales, who has fought for the LFA world title, or the world title. I think that's 155-pound division. Has gone on to Dana White's Contender Series and what have you. So he was the first like podcast of this ilk. Now the first interview, my goodness, that actually, this is when I wasn't even doing like in front of the camera stuff, but it was actually Heinrich Wassmer of Combate Americas. And essentially Heinrich Wassmer was my coach when I was training jujitsu and such at Fight Academy in Pasadena, California. And it was a wild, wild way about it, because like I had gotten like maybe I got ringworm and something like that, whatever, but I couldn't grapple, right? So I was out, and then one of my kids, they wanted to go to the library, and we couldn't go to the local library because, well, not the local library, but like the big LA city library, because we're just outside of LA city ordinances and what have you. But I was like, since we're downtown anyway, downtown LA, I heard this gym that Josh Barnett trains at, whatever, at least the social media said that him and the rest of the Four Horsewomen trained there. And I befriended the gentleman who was, at the time, we thought he was the owner of the gym. He has actually just recently, within the last month or so, passed away, which is wild. So RIP Joel. But he introduced me to this gentleman called Bosun Wang. And Bosun was a videographer for Amazing Race and here in the States and what have you. And Bosun and I, we did like promo videos, like we for like Bellator and Combate Americas and King of the Cage, pretty big promotions. And was actually talking to Court Bauer, funny enough, of MLW, who is still a producer on Combate to basically come into the promotion, right, as a part of their production team. And so thanks to Bosun Wang for that. But my first interview was, first it was Heinrich Wassmer, and then it was Daniel Rodriguez, who's now the top 15 welterweight in the UFC. And and I was nervous as shit. And I was even in front of the camera. Now, as far as my actual first in front of the camera interview, fuck, couldn't tell you. It's I think just this podcast alone, we're in like at least 1,000 hours of content, right? Over since July 1st, 2020, then that's not even including the 4 years prior doing interviews at local shows and what have you. So, man, hey, if you're the fighter or wrestler that I first interviewed, please let me know. And you know what? I know one of the first was Voodoo Maximus, Pius Enola Lobo, who I do a podcast with. And that's kind of been my career. It was like, man, love people from afar. And then, like, want to do a podcast? And then we've become, like, friends and family and shit like that. So that's kind of been my career. So, yeah, that's probably it. That's probably it.
See, I've heard you've done loads of mixed martial arts interviews, wrestling interviews. Is there another field? This is my question now to follow on from Brayden's question. Is there another field that you'd rather want to cover, even if it's for your educational purposes, so you don't know that much about it, or you just, you know?
Fuck no. No, I mean, this is it. This is the dream, man. Like, and am I, am I a reporter? Fuck no. There's not a news story I want to break or what have you. I think there's one thing on the channel. I think when, I want to say it was Mayhem Miller, where he got arrested for something or whatever the fuck. And, I got a tip from a friend and whatever, and that's what happened. But I didn't feel great about it, and I never did it again, you know, like the scoop. And I think that has like close to 700 views, like one of the most viewed contents, but I've contemplated taking it down because Mayhem Miller, the host of Bully Beatdown and UFC and Strikeforce alumnus, but he's gotten into some fucking crazy shit, man. A lot of it unexcusable and what have you, but I've been in the confines of Mayhem, and there's something off, right? So like, I wish he'd get help, and people were there to help him, rather than lambast him because he did something wrong and be the first to a fucking story. Fuck that, man. Yeah. So this is it. I only do the shit that I like. Now, mind you, the other thing that I make is like, music. So maybe some musicians. That'd be cool. And I've had a few. Noah Lazarus, who's huge in the Philippines, he's been on, which that got demonetized right off the bat because he played a fucking song. His song on the stream, and they were like, oh, Noah Lazarus has the fucking rights to it. I'm like,
dude, he played it.
It's fucking him. And it was awesome. It was so great. What the fuck?
Yeah. So how could you get demonetized if he was the one that played it? You can't.
I didn't even know. No, it wasn't demonetized because I don't know if I'm monetized yet. That's kind of inside kayfabe. But with that all being said, it was definitely a copyright strike for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. Now, Throwback says, who do you guys want to work with next? I'm going to ladies first.
I'll be working then at my next match. My next most recent match will be against Giselle Shaw. But me personally, I would love now, especially now that she's announced her separation from Seedling and retirement might be inevitable soon, is that I want to face Nanae Takahashi for the last time as well. Like, she's been my teacher, she's been my senpai and my mentor for so long. And the matches that we've had in Japan have been awesome. And if it's going to be our last dance really soon, I'd like to at least be in that lineup. That's all I want.
Wow, that's great. I think that's amazing. You know, teacher becomes a student. And especially when it goes to, especially Japanese wrestling or pursue, right? That's a big thing. It's wild because I actually have a Luthez replica NWA world title, and Luthez came back. Yeah, to wrestle Chono, and he was in his 70s, and Chono was his student and whatever, and he wanted to do the honors, which I was able to see something recently with the aforementioned War Master Josh Barnett take on Alex Coughlin for New Japan in Riverside. So, and at the end of it, Josh took the mic and he was like, hey, I've been given you know, strict orders from Shibata-san and what have you, but I'm giving you my vote of confidence. And I was like, oh, shit. Damn, right on. And I wanted to talk to him about it, but, like, all the they had to go on the bus. They still, no matter if they're in Japan or not, New Japan still does the fucking bus deal. So, heels and faces, there you go.
There's nothing wrong with that. That still happens in most. In most, it's the same. How about you? Who do you want to work with next? Who would you like to have your dream come? Maybe like New Year's interview. That's not me because I'm going to have so many things to tell you. But it's not me. It's got to be somebody else.
I would say, right? You know what? Shoot for the moon, even if you land short, yeah, land amongst the stars. I won't say the name, but
can you give me a description?
Mother.
Really?
Yeah. I would. That's it. I would say that and the Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan. Those are my two. You know, and with Kevin Sullivan, I would just be, you know, of course his career and what have you, but I want to fucking know about Don Lewin, the fucking Purple Haze Don Lewin. Good God. You know, you guys go ahead and, I mean, after this podcast, obviously, but like, check out, like, everybody wants to talk about, especially when, like, the conspiracy theories of what happened in the Benoit tragedy, whatever. They want to put, you know, Kevin Sullivan's demonic character, right? But they put that. They don't fucking remember the actual promo where he's that. And him and woman, right, are there in, like, maybe the Florida Everglades and shit. And they're, you know, conjuring up this demon. And out comes the fucking Purple Haze, jacked as fuck, Mark Lewin, who I believe, like a mix of Don Lewin and the spoiler Don Jardine, is essentially the Undertaker. Taker took both deals, you know, and made it his own. And I'm not discrediting Taker for it, but like, if you know, you know, and especially where Taker was in Texas, where Don Jardine was in pre-Purple Haze, because I think he was already in his 40s or 50s, you know, and already had a 20-year career before he hooks up with Sullivan, where he's like a white meat baby face. But that would be it, man. I'm fascinated by fucking, you know, Mark Lewin. I'm fascinated. His whole run in fucking New Zealand with, you know, what's the guy? Hey, my boy. They fucking make fun of him all the time. Jesus Christ. He's an old-time promoter who promoted Australia and New Zealand. Fuck. I don't even know what the terminology is, so I'm going to step away from it. But everybody, who, like from Jim Ross to Dusty Rhodes to whoever the fuck, when they're talking about him, they do his voice. He's a very affluent gent. God, I can't remember his name, but
you
yeah,
essentially, so, you'll end at the end.
Yeah, 100%. And so, not that this is the end, but Graham Farrell wants to know. Let's ask the question that is known to everyone, but answered by none. What came first, the children or the egg?
I think you're supposed to write chicken.
Okay. I'm gonna go with children.
Do you, the egg, actually. Uh-huh. Even if that question is paused, scientifically, if you think about it, it is the egg. There would be no child without the egg.
As great as that is, you know who really should be answering this question, right?
Who?
You know, Avatar? That's good shit. Ha ha, pal. Fucking Vince McMahon. From fucking Survivor Series and having the gobbledygooker to whatever the fuck this past Survivor Series was.
That could have been Taker, okay? I'm just glad it was a chicken that came out of that crap. Like that could have been this close.
Well, speaking of chicken, yes, chicken. Bloody Audi, correct? Yeah. So I'm actually going to, I think Vince. I want to hear what he has to say. Now, he'll probably never let it on, what the fuck, because that would be a proverbial slip. That would be a bit of a joke to the genetic jackhammer. Yes, he said that. I didn't. But yeah,
many
that's
times. Many times.
Oh, genetic jackhammer. Oh, good shit. Yeah. But yeah, so that's, I mean, I think I'm underqualified to talk about eggs, but I think Vince McMahon, that dude, I want to fucking find out what he thinks about eggs.
Well, you know, the answer to the question is what came first, the chicken or the egg? The answer is Vince McMahon.
Okay, got a question for you. Who survives, like, the last vestige of human life? Is it going to be Vince McMahon or Cher?
Oh, that's cruel. So what has happened in the world? Are we talking like Mad Max post-apocalyptic, or is it like Far Cry? What's the criteria here?
Wait, Mad Max is a Thunderdome. We've already been there, right?
Yeah. So we're talking Far Cry.
I cry really far. I'm crying for you, and I'm crying internally.
Can we have a Vince Cher hybrid? Is that a thing? I mean, they are male and female. They are the last two.
Could they procreate? What would that look like? What would that look like? A Vince Cher baby. Each of them like 80s.
Type in Pokemon Jinx.
Pokemon Jinx?
Yeah.
Pokemon Jinx.
For some reason, I just have...
Jesse? No, Jirachi?
No, Jinx. J-Y.
Okay. The evolution. I feel like I have to... Whoa, holy fuck. Okay.
Do you see it?
Yes.
That's what I think it would look like.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck is that, man?
Share with the world.
That is weird. It's so weird. And you guys might know this, but I don't know any of this.
He doesn't know what it is. I think a hybrid of Vincent Mann and Cher will look like Jinx from Pokemon.
Jesus Christ.
I think. The hair. Look at the shoulders. It's even got the shoulders. The dress is there. The mouth for talking. The eyes for looking. And the skin is biologically correct because it's purple. Yeah, it's like Simpsons. They're yellow, purple. It's a... very neutral. We don't know what might happen.
Well, you know what's wild, though? In terms of the offspring of Cher, they both identify as transgender.
Oh, they both do. Did they both do? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which, I mean, something might come out of it.
Honestly,
didn't
actually know that.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. Demon Slayer says, what's your favorite
audio? Be yourself. Be yourself. Really? It's be yourself. I'm sorry, but Chrissy Heavy ruined it. But Be Yourself is the greatest Audio Slave song ever.
Yes. And I guess the second part would be, and how did you get Bischoff on the show? Actually, on the show twice. Then I've been on his after 80, well, him and Chrissy Olsen and Steve Kaufman, along with George Hermosa's after 83 weeks, where we basically break down that week's episode of 83 weeks, the main show on ad-free shows and on YouTube, wherever you can find Conrad Thompson's podcasts and what have you. But it's me knowing Steve Kaufman and Chrissy Olsen, and they introduced me out to Bischoff and have done his show a couple of times. And they're like, hey, want to do something? And I was like, fuck yes. And yeah, I even admitted that my mom had a crush on him. And funny enough, on my mom's anniversary, my mom passed.
You can tell him I kind of liked Eazy-E too.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do. Absolutely.
I was a fan.
Okay.
He had such a movie star face.
Yeah. He's still a good-looking gentleman. Like, he's still a good-looking gentleman. And he will tell you himself that. But he's also really fucking modest. He's, like, everything that you think that Eric Bischoff could be in terms of horrible, whatever, and you know, if you take a Jim Cornette, who I also love, but, you know, if you take a vision of that and whatever, and you'd be like, ah, Bischoff's an asshole. He fucking fired Steve Austin by FedEx or whatever. He is one of the most kind, considerate fucking people. There was something that, like, he thought might be amiss and whatever, and he asked a couple people, like, whatever, for my number, and text and called me directly to make sure I wasn't offended. He's incredible. So I'm just saying. And favorite Audio Slave song? That is Shadow of the Sun. Because
I really? Mean, oh.
That's not, no, but not the fucking weird Jamie Foxx, Tom Cruise movie version. Like the fucking one from that album. And oh, okay. I, all right, then. Yeah. Because that
the fucking, actual radio edit of that song, yeah.
The radio edit of that song, fucking. Well, the fact that you got a radio edit of that, no, we got beer. No, we got. I think we only got like, Cochise, obviously the first one. We got Cochise. We got fuck. What else did we get? Obviously, Be Yourself.
Obviously.
There's like one other one.
Yeah, there was one I used to play all the time on my iPod. iPod, so dated.
Isn't that? Didn't they just combine that with a phone and they call it the iPhone? It's the same fucking.
Yeah.
Thing,
the, and the thing is, I've never had an iPhone, but I've always had an iPod. I think iPhones are the most pointless pieces of gadgets in the face of the earth. Like, I hate them. Like, no, just get an Android. Everybody, like, people that have an iPhone, stop. Stop it now. Stop.
Wow.
Stop.
Wow. Fuck, man. I mean, to get you less heat, Graham Farrell wants to know, favorite match of all time?
So my favorite match of all time was what inspired my main event for the Renegade Wrestling Show. And it was a 20-minute time limit with NJPW All-Star, Japanese Joshi All-Star, Japanese wrestling legend Arisa Nakajima. And we went 20 minutes. That girl kicked the holy shit into me. And I had never learned so much in 20 minutes that I had learned probably in 10 years at that time of wrestling. Which is one of the reasons why I booked the match that I did when it was Brody Adler versus Regina Rosendale. Because I saw the same amount of respect, the same amount of passion, the same amount of credibility that those two had, that both I and Arisa had. And it was the same on both scents. Both of them didn't realize the ability of each other. And it was in that match where there was a mutual sign of respect, which is why I shared the picture I did on the internet, because it was literally mirror by mirror. It was the same picture side by side in different parts of the world. And I knew it was going to happen. You know, I'm going to be a booker soon. I'm not going to be a promoter, but I would definitely be a producer and agent. But I knew it was going to work. Even though they doubted me for a while, I knew it was going to work. And it was a match of mutual respect. As much as I wanted them to beat the hell out of each other, mutual respect is cool.
Fuck yeah, man. And again, I think the world of good too. So I'm going to echo your sentiments, which, you know, there might be some footage coming and there might be my voice on it. And whatever, so I'm.
Oh, my editor hates me right now. Yes, your voice will be there, but the editor hates me right now at this very moment in time.
Oh, sorry, editor guy, person.
Sorry.
Yeah. And I only said guy because you're like, oh, editor guy.
No, it's right. His last name is Guy, so that's good.
Okay, editor guy.
He's that Efkin guy. You can check him out on that Efkin show.
Okay, right on. In terms of, like, it's not a match, but I'm you know, it is conducive to my favorite Mania, and that's Mania 10. And it is the feeling, not just the matches that led up to it, but the feeling that I get when I watch it. Like, the first time that I saw it, I rented it from a Martin's grocery store in South Bend, Indiana. And at that point, this is the first of many moves that I and my family had made, from what I knew in San Francisco, California, to like moving to Indiana. There was a short stint in Fiji before. Then we'd go to Vegas, New Mexico, Georgia, and then LA, right? And didn't know anything about it, whatever. But I remember where my mom was just like, go rent a video. And it was Mania 10. It had just come out. And I was just like, oh, Brett! I was that kid in that fucking new... Yes, that new... I think I might actually have
the entrance. I never liked that. I hated that video so much.
What? Brett! That was so fucking
me. Hey, dude, kid. No.
That was me. That was so fucking me. I lived vicariously through it. To the extent where I fucking name a kid Owen. So I'm just saying, I'm all in that shit. But with that all being said, it's the matches. It's Brett and Owen, you know, opening the match, you know, and the Finkel entrance, right? RIP, R. Ed Finkel, one of the greatest of all time, ring announcers or otherwise, just people. And, you know, from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And then fucking... The Rockets music plays and it's fucking Owen Hart and shit. And I'm like, ah, swerve! Shit, that was, and you could hear the chorus of booze and shit like that. And then, you know, you tie up, you know, Lex and Brett tumbling over the ropes at Rumble, right? And you fucking put a nice bow tie on that. They, you know, move from Lex, who had been, you know, doing the whole Lex Express deal up, you know, right before that. And, you know, we saw him from a narcissist to, you know, the fucking all-American Lex Luger.
I like that gimmick. That was a good gimmick. Oh, it works.
It fucking works.
That was better than the Lex Express. The narcissist is the best gimmick he had. He should have just stuck with that and it would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. And then, obviously, the very last kind of images that you see of Mania 10, Brett Beaks, the indomitable monster Yokozuna. Right, and fuck what you say. You're like, ah, he wasn't dominant because Hogan beat him with one eye and shit. You know, at the previous Mania, fuck that. Yeah, I don't care. No, it was.
Yeah, but how does that make sense? Yeah, but that has that Hogan beat him with one eye, so he's not a monster anymore. He's still.
No, I'm just saying he was beat before. It's just like, like Hogan. Oh, Hogan slammed Andre. Fucking Jerry Lawler. And Harley Race did it first. Shut the fuck
and
up.
And a couple of other French guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just saying.
A couple of dozen French guys.
No, I mean, when the French guys did it, Andre was a svelte young gentleman. He was not
as girthy. He was still pretty big.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I mean, he was an as girthy a gentleman as we knew him to be, especially if you watch WWF TV. But, yeah, I'm just saying. So... that's it. And now, again, Mania 10, that main event, and it was beautiful match and what have you. And Brett, you know, he's like, oh man, I have to fucking carry Yoko and whatever. I don't care. Fucking Yokozuna was my mom's favorite wrestler, and we'd get into arguments about like, oh shit, you know, like, oh, that Japanese whatever. And my mom,
like, no, he's from the island. He's from the island.
Like, no, he isn't. And I didn't tell my mom. Fuck.
How could you not? That would have been a crowning moment of my lifetime.
I know.
Like when I found out that flipping Muhammad Hassan was Italian, I was like, for shame on you.
Yeah. No. So, but I mean, so again, that match, and you know, it's everything after. You know them. Putting Brett on the shoulders, all the baby faces and all that. I think it was like Scott Steiner and Bob Holly, you know, had him on Brett on the shoulders where he does the fucking bullhorns. And then you see Owen come out. And again, fucking masterful. Come, whatever. And you think, and Savage, you know, fresh off his win over Crush where he fucking tries to hog tie him or whatever the fuck. And it just didn't work. But, you know, Savage fucking letting Owen come in, fucking sitting on the ropes, and Owen just mouthing something, just what the fucker, whatever. And then, yeah, and then it's just, to me, that is some of the greatest storytelling that WWF and wrestling as a whole. When it's good, it's fucking great. And that, it's a great moment. So it's not a match per se, but it's the string of that. Yeah, absolutely. And it's the way I felt when the first time I saw it. And then everything Okada.
Of course. I always feel bad when anybody mentions Owen, because Owen Hart for me is the Aaliyah syndrome. if Aaliyah didn't pass away, you'd have no Beyonce. That would not be a thing. I'm sorry. No. And you wouldn't have any of these... I'm sorry, Leona Lewis would not be a thing if Aaliyah was still alive. No. But it's the same with Owen Hart. There are so many people that his passing allowed other people to uprise. But if he was alive, he would have been on top for so long. It would have been so beautiful. I'm just like... He was the brother. That was the talent. And I'm sorry, no disrespect to Brett at all. But that was the talent. That was the look. I mean, he was blonde, for God's sakes. He's flipping wet. He's Vincent Mann's wet dream. He was blonde. He was athletic. It's like, there you go. And he's male. Oh, look, the other side of the spectrum. So you're not female, but you're actually a dude. Cool.
And personality and charisma. Like in loads. Actually, you know, I cried because I forget whatever that, you know, AEW is doing the Owen Hart, you know, cup, and they ran on this week's Dynamite a little promo package of, you know, and it is, you could tell it's shit from Martha Hart's fucking archive, man, and him in Japan and everything like that. And that's those deep cuts, that's the shit I love. Like the WWE footage, like, and it doesn't make sense. I know. I say that with absolute total disclosure, but I cannot watch Owen Hart on anything WWE produced. I just can't. I've read Martha's book. I know how she feels. Anybody that, you know, wants him to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, really, fuck you, honestly, because, like, it's not the wrestler. It's her husband, her kid.
He should be in a wrestling Hall of Fame, but he shouldn't be in the...
Which he is.
For him to be put in a WWE Hall of Fame is a massive, like, that's basically walking up to any serial killer and handing them your child after they've killed your husband. It's that bad. Like... for him to be, he should be in a wrestling Hall of Fame, a Canadian Hall of Fame, yes, but not a WWE Hall of Fame. That doesn't make any sense. It would never. Even though it, to so many people who, to be fair, the generation has like surpassed so much now, unless you watch the Vice documentary, which I could only watch once, and I watched it for you, but I can't watch it again because I will not sleep and it will make me sad and I don't want to be in that place. But unless you watch that Vice documentary, the generation now wouldn't know who Owen was, like, sadly. True.
Yeah, no, that's a travesty. And when people are like, oh, you know, I watched in the Attitude Era and whatever. And, like, for me, Owen and Pillman get, like, those are two of my favorite fucking wrestlers ever. Like,
and those are the two documentaries I couldn't watch until apart from once. I watched them once and I can't do it again. I cannot. Yeah.
Well, oh man, if you thought the Owen Dark Side of the Ring was tragic, no, go to Martha's book. And how
I've got it, and I've literally it's still in its case, and I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, the way that he died, like when he was the final everything in that Kansas City hospital, and you know. Yeah, it's very stark. So, and shout out to, I think, no better time. Shout out to Dr. Martha Hart, Oge, and Athena for, you know, basically building the Owen Hart Foundation to where it's a worldwide vision and an expression of what Owen was. And that's one of the reasons why I, not only myself, but Kevin Steen, named our firstborn sons Owen. He took the surname Owen once he got into the WWE. It's because of Owen Hart and the person that he was. So shout out to them. And then you didn't have to let him come back, his image and license and likeness to come back in. They did the thing with Pro Wrestling Teams, which I have two Owen Hart, you know, t-shirts. First time in fucking what, almost 30 years that we get a new piece of Owen merch. I was all up on that motherfucker. Right?
How many did you buy?
Well, I one of each.
Oh, of course.
But then also, you know, allowing AEW, you know, and that to me, that's where, of course, WWE will always be what it is. Yeah. But for me, you've got Brian Pillman's son there. You have Luke Perry's son there. You have Owen there. You've got Sting there. You've got CM Punk there, like Brian Danielson, and all these people that talk about like, oh, they hire ex WWE guys or whatever. This is what I've
everyone's an ex WWE guy. If you think about it, you can't use it as an equation. I hate it when people say that.
Yeah, it's just because they stopped or got released from the WWE, they can't wrestle anymore anywhere.
Like, what the they can't be held. They can't be held into that account. They need to start from the bottom and start upwards. It's like, well, no, they're still wrestlers. When they've been released, they're indie wrestlers like everybody else, like everyone else. Mm-hmm. If they've managed to get a job, they got a job. It's got nothing to do with them being XWE stars. That's just not like one of my closest friends and one of my favorite people in the world, Jamie Hayter. Not an XWE star. One of the most there you go.
And she's killing it. She's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the other thing, right? Jamie Hayter, you know, the way that they've promoted Rebel was even better. It's even better than what she was in Impact when she actually had her run, right? Look, Eddie Guerrero's wife is there. Like, you know, like there's just so many things. And then in addition to that, you've got, you know, burgeoning stars. Like, I mean, that ex-WWE, what have you, but FTR, they're one of the best tag teams ever, honestly. They're there. You've got Britt Baker. You've got shit, like so many people. The Top Flight kids. Martin. Dante Martin and whatever. Like, that dude's a fucking star. Hook is a fucking star. There's so many homegrown AEW stars at this point. Like, you can't say, oh, they just hire ex-WWE people or whatever the fuck. Like, AEW is great, and I don't want to be like, oh, they're the greatest thing ever, but what they're doing is absolutely different. And these things, and I was having the conversation with my wife earlier, actually when I was doing the replay of Dynamite, and I was just like, this is everything that the WWE says they can't do. They can't provide people insurance. They can't, you know, give them full-time salary, whether they're, you know, wrestling or not. You know, they're treating like actual fucking people. You know, look at what they did with Brody Lee. That, to me, that's the best, you know, in memoriam tributes that wrestling has ever had. You know, it's just, fuck, man. It's just, you know, even the Hubers, right? Amanda's working in the office. And, like, it's just so great. And it's not just, like, Amanda's working the office. She's a former wrestler. She knows. And what she's doing in terms of the community outreach for AEW, it is something that she knows and has a bit of expertise in doing. So it's not a vanity hire at all. So I dig it, you know. And then, you know, you're seeing a Rocky Romero and you're seeing, like, people coming in. You know, all these things that we were told for eons, you can't be done. It can't be done. It can't be done. Even though the WWE did it, right? I remember the ECW invasion of the mid to early 90s, right? The NWA invasion, right? You remember that? Hell, there was an invasion pay-per-view that was done to shit because Vince fucking got trigger happy and he couldn't allow anybody else to shine.
But that's what I never understand. The whole reason, one of the main reasons why AEW has been successful for this term, and just from the time of debuting, is because it's something different. Like, one of my rhetorics of the world is live to be different, and your difference can change the world. No one steal it. Don't steal my shit. Yeah, but difference creates controversy. Difference creates controversy. Difference makes everything interesting, and you can't get better without competition. You generally can't stay at the stop for so long, and then what happens is you get bored and you start giving people exactly what you think is correct rather than what they want. And if there's something different, then that makes you work even harder. The problem is there'd be no competition for so long. They've just been stagnant. It's like, here you go. You can have this on a Monday and a Friday or Thursday or Wednesday.
Yeah, whatever they do, or the YouTube, and I mean,
or the YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, because I didn't have, you know, a way to watch AEW, you know, like whatever the fuck, I just watched AEW. What is it, Dark and Elevation? I was fine with those shows, and then not even getting into the main shows. Like, you know, I'm just saying, like, AEW build stars the way that Vince McMahon used to promote him during your favorite era, whether that be Attitude or the Golden Age of the 80s. Still, AEW is doing that.
Some parts of the Roof of Aggression, they did try, fulfill all this. Batista was probably the only one.
Him and Cena, right?
But Cena doesn't count. That's like Ken. He's like, he was always going to be Ken. He was always going to be the Ken doll. Cena doesn't count in the equation.
Not according to fucking Jericho.
It was supposed to be Randy. Yeah.
No. Wacky roll-up guy. He was going to get cut. You don't know this story?
I don't remember, no.
Okay, so basically, you know, this was when Cena was still... like, you know, wearing the trunks of whatever city that he was in. We were in North Carolina. He does the baby blue and the white. They're in LA. He does Lakers colors or whatever. And he would beat people with the most devastating move in pro wrestling history, the fucking schoolboy, right? And that was it. And he was about to get cut. Jericho went to Vince. It's like, there's something here. That paired with that fucking European tour where Stephanie McMahon
made him rap.
Yeah. Well, he was already rapping, and then she's like, do that again. And that's essentially, that was a 20-year career, but they almost shat on it. You know? So I'm just saying. So maybe Batista, like that's it. Because, I mean, if given the WWE's own standards, Cena wouldn't have even fucking survived it. Just saying, yeah. And the dudes at ringside saying, "What's going on, guys? What's going on, dudes?" Metal Geek and Joe Panther Jr. Check out their pod on Twitch and YouTube if you haven't already done so.
You should.
Yeah, absolutely. And Graham Farrell says, "When will we see an Aisha versus Kat Zabella match?" I'm interested. And there's a biblical reference in there somewhere.
What, David and Goliath, or good versus evil, where I just go, kick the cat. No, don't kick the cat. No, I'm sorry. Don't cancel me. I'm not going to kick the cat.
That's a whole Netflix fucking thing.
I know. That's why I stopped. Don't F with cats. I know that. I'm not doing it. I'm not getting cancelled. There's not going to be a Katsabella match because I don't want to get cancelled.
That's good.
That's the answer to your question.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, you were talking about the Presbyterian and, you know, you're Christian and all that, whatever. I total disclosure, I was brought up a Nietzschean Buddhist. So when people are like, oh, you know that scripture, what have you? I don't have it. Like, of course, there were, like, Christian and Catholic people in my family. There were a couple times where, like, I would have to go to Mass and, you know, skip breakfast because I woke up too fucking late, whatever the hell. Probably watching wrestling the night before, right? And and I was like, Padre, can I get more crackers? And they're like, oh, that's the blood of Christ. I was like, fuck, that tastes like stale ass crackers, and I haven't eaten.
It's the blood of Christ. It's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Poor wits. Poor wits.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, like, honestly, you know, they're like, oh, you know, the wine, the blood. And I was like, oh, I don't want to drink blood. I'm not a vampire. Like, it's not whatever. And I was like, oh, this is Welch's. This is juice. This is grape juice. I like this. And this is juice, not drink, not the fucking Kool-Aid. And that wasn't even Kool-Aid. It was the fucking Flavor-Aid. It was the fucking store brand version of Kool-Aid. Couldn't even afford the Kool-Aid. That's different now. But yeah, so Flavor Raid or Flavor Right is what we got. So when I
got at least got cherry wine. Like, I remember there being cherry wine. It was always wine. It was never juice. It was wine.
So enough of the blood would get you sauced.
Pretty much. I mean, it was Jesus juice after all.
I'm not, because where that comes from.
You don't want to touch that one. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm good. And Grandfather says, kick a cat. I almost pissed my boxers.
I'm not going to kick the cat. Don't get me canceled. It's not happening.
Well, why don't you kick the piss out of his boxers?
He's fired. He should be speaking anyway. You've got no.
Ooh. So elitist of you. Fired. So elitist.
Fired.
Jesus. I think I might have made a shirt. Anyway, before we go, what are you looking forward to the most going into 2020? And we'll probably do another show before the end of the year, but is there any things that you're looking forward to or like to have happened?
Me personally, I'm just hoping that everything gets back to normal. And then I am quite amazing next year, and that I just everything gets back to normal. That's it. Just put me on a plane. Everything goes back to normal. Normal. Normality. Stop locking me in my house. Stop trying to jab me with stuff. Stop putting chemicals in my body. I just want to breathe air and eat food and be cool. Please. Pretty please. And stop having parties and telling people they can't spend Christmas with their families. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Boris. I'm looking at you.
Ooh.
I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
I ain't seen my family in 2 years, yet you're having parties with wine and cheese. I'm looking at you.
That's no different than here in the States, my goodness, you know. And everybody who said that, after said party, all their kids got COVID. So I'm not saying, like, whatever, but karma's a motherfucker. So watch it. Yeah. Jesus. That Boris Johnson, man. He looks.
That's such a it's such a it's such a sensitive subject for me generally, because I had to watch my family from my phone screen while he was locking people in their houses. Yet he's got like that was not a business meeting, dude. There were dogs. There was wine. There was cheese. They had swinging tables. Business. What work were you doing that you haven't done this whole year? That's kept us locked in the house. Please tell me what work you were doing.
Wait.
What work?
You said swinger tables?
No, they had like swinging chairs, like garden. They had like literal garden furniture, wine, cheese, servers, dogs were there. And it's like, oh, we were doing business. It was business. Flick hair. Prick.
Yeah.
That's it. This is when my Twitter gets shut down. I don't care.
You know, so. Because swinging is a completely different connotation here. In the States.
He may have been doing that too. I have no idea, but you know.
And I mean, right before the world shut down, I might have been at a. I can say this because it's whatever. But Eddie Bravo, right? Eddie Bravo, who's a genius when it comes to no-gi jiu-jitsu, right? A fashioned the 10th Planet system that has been used everywhere from his own, you know, competition on Eddie Bravo's Invitational Combat Jiu-Jitsu, Jiu-Jitsu with Puerto Rican slap boxing, at least that's what I call it. And many champions have come out of a 10 Planet affiliate itself. Well, they have 10 Planet parties. And the one right before COVID was held at a demonic sex club. To the extent where my wife was like, and this is pre-COVID, she, like we opened the door, there's like a fucking puff of smoke, whatever. And, and then there was like a sex Baphomet head. And she's just like, no.
She was like, join us. Yeah. Join us.
Yeah. And the reason why I can say this is because Anthony Bertrank, formerly of the UFC and head coach of Toro Tech MMA, as well as 10th Planet Tucson, another 10th Planet affiliate, he actually told this story on the Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl with Ashley Evan Smith, who fights in the UFC. And he told that story where they were at the sex hub. And I was like, oh shit, that was you guys, him and his wife Mercedes, because they were simulating sex on the dance floor on a sex screen. So when you said swinging, swinger swing or whatever, chair. Yeah, that's what I was like, oh.
Boris I don't want to pitch Boris Johnson on one of those. Nah, that's cool.
I saw a lot of memes of the American version of Boris.
Oh, his twin. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But like there was, they did the whole Hulk Hogan, but Trump face. And, you know, as he's doing the wrecking ball. Do you know that?
Yes, I can't. Someone showed me that again the other day. I tried to erase it from my mind, and then someone re-showed it to me, and I'm just like, "What? Why? What?" I think it was you, actually, that showed it to me first. I think you messaged it to me.
Probably. More than likely than not.
Like, why is, can you just, can, why is he not wearing a jumpsuit? Why is he not wearing a paper bag and a mask?
Why would Hulk Hogan wear a paper bag and a mask?
Because he needs to. At least wear a jumpsuit. That was way too much flesh for my hand that I caught.
I mean, that's nothing compared to his sessions with, you know, his daughter, you know, where he's
massaging ripping baby oil.
Yeah. And the daughter looks exactly like the new wife.
Or does the wife look like the daughter? This is the thing I've always tried to work out. Who looks like... Because I don't know what Linda looked like back in the day. So who actually looks like who? Because I've not actually seen pictures of Linda way back when.
You know what's weird? I think that Linda and maybe it's just because it's Florida, but like Linda and Phil Collins' wife or ex-wife, they're just out gallivanting, spending their respective husband's money just for the fuck of it, you know? Now spend fucking Hogan's money. I don't give a shit. But fucking Phil Collins, dude. What the fuck is wrong with you? Orve, whatever the fuck her name is. Jesus Christ. That dude is he's an international treasure, that motherfucker is. Let me say. Kind of force him back on the road. He's all decrepit and shit. He can still sing his ass off. He's still dynamic as hell. But, you know, broken back, broken foot because you took his ass to the cleaners. He's got a fucking... We get a fucking... Your Phil Collins tour after he retired in 97. Oh, we get another Genesis tour, which I'm not mad at. But I'm just saying, we know why. It's you, Phil Collins' ex-wife, that he married twice.
Why would you do that? I'm never making that mistake twice. If I didn't want you once, I'm not going to want you again. That's not how it works. Oh, give me another chance. No. I don't know. No.
She even said that he... didn't wash regularly. He put that in the fucking divorce document. And I was like, you fucking horrible shrew, you. You are a shrew of the shrewiest, shrewiest.
The shrew of the most shrew degree.
Yes, absolutely. Shrew degree. That needs to be a shrew. But yeah, happy holidays, all you folks. Thank you for joining us here in this, I guess, festive mood. And what have you. I was going to wear this, but I was like, I don't want to be perceived as somebody who has a hood. So that's probably why I'm not wearing that. But Big Fan Vader, where can they find you on social media?
Well, you can find me and the rest of my rebels, if you want them, at RW Dojo into any social media platform. Or you know what? You can just type in at Big Fan Vader into all the social media platforms. You can get this lovely Warner Brothers wrestling, entertainment, music, TV, podcast, just all-round awesome face. And you can check out the rest of my Rebels and exactly what they're going to do next year at the Renegade Dojo.
Damn right. The Running Rebels of Renegade Dojo. And Graham Farrell says, have a good Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, and you guys are closer to it than I, right? Because it's about 8 o'clock local time there, which means, so you guys get it in a couple hours.
Yeah.
We're probably not that here in the States. It's
that means Santa will get to me first. Santa's getting to me in 3 hours. He's still got 6 hours for you.
Yeah. How the... Does Santa not get a mask?
Well, apparently he wants to come this way first.
Mm-hmm. All right. I would love... Just blessed us. But you know what? It's not China's fault. It's not Africa's fault. It's a fucking politician's fault. They dumbass.
It's true. Different parts of the world is locked down at different times, so it is the government's fault. I blame the government.
Yeah, so blame all government. You know, I'm just saying. But yeah, you can find me in my apparently anti-government sentiment. I don't know who that was there.
According to the tinfoil hat and everything.
Oh, I got to show you a fucking promo because there's one of me with one. But yeah, according to what's across the board, I think it's like Adam K. Woods on fucking Twitter. But you can put it according to words. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's according to words. You put that in the fucking Twitter machine, and you get this fucking face for radio, and I'm just saying. But go ahead and follow me there. Usually, I'll follow you back if you're not a bot. That's cool. And subscribe to the podcast. I'm doing some cool shit. The two aforementioned Bishop podcasts. And also, bodyslam.net, which this very podcast is also being streamed to. So shout out to the bodyslam.net crew, as well as a grappling network crew. So many places you can see this. So go ahead and subscribe to them all. Just saying, but if you don't believe me, and I don't know why you wouldn't, well, here's a contemporary of Big Fem Vader's, Zeta Zang.
Hey, this is Zeta Zang. Make sure you subscribe to